Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 29th of July to the 1st of August, 2024. Hello, how are you? Are you all right? Good, good, good. Joining me, as usual, is Ree. Hello, Ree. How are you this week?
Hello, Rob. I'm okay. What was with the dramatic pause then?
I've just been dramatic. It's the summer.
Oh, fair
enough. Got to keep the pace up there. It's the summer.
Yes.
I like your outfit, Ree. And what did you say it was called?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Right, we had a big old debate before we started recording, and I can't let this go.
It's not even a debate.
It is. Right, go on.
You know what? Please don't come at me now and tell me I'm wrong, because I swear to God. I said I'm wearing a T-shirt dress.
Right.
I'm trying not to draw attention to, by the way, Rob, because I've put my little shawl thing over the top.
It's fine, right? So a T-shirt dress is presumably a dress-type thing made out of T-shirt material, right?
Yeah.
So it's a T-shirt that then leads into a dress, right?
Where it's like a T-shirt at the top.
Yeah, yeah. But I would argue that the better name for that is a T-skirt.
But it's not, because a skirt you would wear from your waist down.
Yes.
You wouldn't have
from your waist. It goes from your waist down, but you've just got the T on the top of it.
No, because it's all in one. It's a dress. A T-skirt would be a dress.
I'm not debating
anyway,
that.
Rob, I just think it's a better name.
But anyway, let's... Anyway.
This is going to be a fun episode. I can already feel it. I've got beef with Rob. I feel like he's got beef with me this week.
That debate is going to continue way past us recording this episode, let me tell you. Right, ladies and gents, it's a change of the month. It's August now. It's August. We are smack bang in the middle of summer. And can we not feel
it?
It's horrible.
We hate it. All we do is moan about whether it's raining,
so British. It's too hot, it's too cold.
Because it is too hot.
I want no weather whatsoever. Right, okay, so we go from July, say goodbye to Phil on crack and Peggy and the Bic about to burn down, and say hello to August. Ah! How appropriate is that? So that is, if you're only listening, we have that famous picture of Peggy. I don't know how they've got that picture of her, but it's when she is surrounded by the flames of the Vic fire, looking horrified. But it's that famous promo picture they released for the Vic fire. I love that picture. But that is pretty much how we feel right now in this heat, isn't it?
Knowing my brain, that is probably why I put it on August. I'm not going to lie.
I can understand your logic completely. I love that picture. Right. Should we crack on with this week? Busy old week, I think. We've got about five different stories to discuss. One of those weeks where it was sort of, I think, you know, one of those chess pieces being
set up week.
So stuff to discuss, leading into bigger affairs next week, I think. So let's get on with discussing it in this week's Albert Square After Dark. So let's crack on with this week, talking about Reese and Sonia and the arrival of Debbie's parents. So previously on EastEnders, Reese is a killer. Reese is a murderer. Reese is a big old suffocator. And he is basically, his life's starting to fall apart. And that continues this week with the arrival of Hugh and Brenda. And I want to be the first to say Brenda is iconic.
Yes, she's brilliant.
I have to say, I don't know what it is. I just love these slightly older women that come in and they're just campers and row of tents. She is, isn't she? I just love her. She's great. Yeah, love her.
And she's bold.
Gobby. Well, not gobby, but like refined gobby. I don't know what that is. Refined gobby, whatever that is. Outspoken, I think, is the word that you would use to describe an outspoken gobby person, isn't it? Yes.
She's fierce.
So they basically the post-mortem is happening soon. So Reese is given the opportunity to go and say goodbye to Debbie in the fridge. What's it called?
Mortuary.
The fridge.
I hope she's not in a fridge.
It's cold in there.
Well, it's not a fridge.
Human fridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go to the hospital and Reese kind of says goodbye to him. Now, I've got to be honest with you, there was still, I was still clinging to the smallest of hopes
that she was going to wake up.
Well, not that she was Can you imagine if she woke up then?
That ship has sailed.
That ship has sunk. No, what I meant more the fact that he was going to like say something to her like, I can't believe I nearly killed you, but then you died from your stroke anyway, or something like that. You know?
Ah, I see. All right, yeah.
What I did notice when she was on the mortuary table, she got a smile back, doesn't she?
Why wouldn't she? She was just mildly distressed
when she got suffocated. The smile faded. Now she's smiling again.
Before we move out of the mortuary, don't forget an important thing that Reese did whilst he was in there.
I was coming to that, little Miss Keen. But yes, he did swipe her engagement ring, or marry her wedding ring, basically, her wedding ring off her finger.
He left the wedding ring and just took the engagement ring.
Oh, did he? Right,
Come on, he's not that bad, Rob.
He's not a monster. so he pockets that. Was he thinking of selling that there and then, do you think? Because I feel like that was just... Well, I think
I don't think he took it for sentimental value, did he?
Well, no, because then he'd sell the wedding ring, wouldn't he?
Yeah, why did he leave the wedding ring? He must have just known that it was worth more, the engagement ring. Was it morally wrong?
Probably. But, I mean, what's she going to do with it?
But this is kind of what I think, but also, like, shouldn't he have just asked somebody and said, by the way, can I have that ring? Because it means a lot to me.
Do you know what I'm saying? Next of kin.
Rather, that's what I'm saying there. Shouldn't he have just said, by the way, I'd like
to take
that ring?
Of all his crimes so far, I don't think that that's very high up on the list, if I'm honest with you. That's the thing I've had the least issue with. Of course they would, because he's pulling... Because he's pulling jewellery off the... corpse. But it feels like the least of his crime so far, I would argue. But
I think it's going to come up again. I think Debbie's mum will be like, hang on, and they must surely have notes about what they're wearing on the body, and someone's going to say a ring's gone missing or something.
Probably. It'll be relevant. Anyway. I mean, he sells it. He's selling it.
He doesn't sell it, does he?
So yes, it is going to become relevant further on down the line. But before we get to that, just as he's coming out of the mortuary, having said his emotional goodbyes to his now dead wife, Brenda and Hugh, Debbie's parents, arrive. And these two aren't quite as sort of innocent parents as they make out, because we've never seen these people before. And there is a sort of question to be asked of, where have you been then?
Well, this is what I was thinking when they turned up. I was thinking, why have we not questioned, has Debbie not got any other family members who are coming to see her? Or at least that they've mentioned, like, that Reese could have, without us seeing him, he could have been like, oh, her parents came down, they topped the flowers up. So they've obviously not been coming to visit her, like they obviously later admit.
And they know absolutely, pretty much bugger all about what's been going on in the life of Debbie ever since the stroke happened, really, because they've got no idea about Sonia. Sonia is just kind of stood there, and they're like, and who are you? Sonia is introduced as Reese's landlady, which is a tiny bit awkward, which reduces, I thought, some great little glares from Sonia throughout the following scene. Like, when she just sat there, grasping her cup and just glaring at Reese across the room. Natalie Cassidy does an angry glare like nobody else. I love it when Sonia's on one. It's great. We got some great Sonia moments this week.
We have had a couple of weeks, actually.
When she just goes in on... Because the thing is with this, because of the fact that the money secret is now sort of common knowledge around the square, judgments are flying around left, right and centre like carrier pigeons. And in the way that only Albert Square can do. Everybody gets on their high horse. And they always have to be told, should we go through the history of this square, shall we? Every single one of you, for all the things. And there's a single innocent person. There isn't a single person in that square who probably shouldn't be in prison at some point in their lives. For the whole history of the show. But they're all getting very judgmental about Reese. And the gossips are kind of in force around the square, to the point where Brenda and Hugh overhear this information in the calf. Sharon and somebody else talking about it, about the fact that Debbie's savings were being used to pay for Sonia's IVF.
And that Sharon and Phil had invested some money, did they? I think they overheard that as well.
So they're starting, so Brenda especially is starting to get into her head. Because you got the impression, really, that Brenda has very much not really liked Reese throughout the entirety of this relationship. So she storms over and they end up having a confrontation. And Debbie basically says to Reese, I'm going to find out exactly what you've been up to. So now the question is Debbie next? It's yeah, Brenda she's next, sorry.
Killed by, yeah, Reese is definitely where this is going. Brenda. I think so.
This is going in such a 100%. Jump state direction, isn't it? It really, 100%. Really is.
Do you know what, though? I'm starting to get less disappointed and just accept it now because I think it's a very clear loss. So we might as well just try and enjoy it now, Rob. Come on.
Yeah, let's go on with it now. There's no point. I remember how miserable I was throughout the entire Grey storyline. Just thinking, why is this a thing? Every single week, why is this a thing? There's no point doing that.
Do you know what I will say I don't understand? Not that I'm one to tell anyone how they're allowed to feel, but...
The difference between a T-skirt and a T-shirt dress?
No, we stop talking. No, the people online still very much... like I'm seeing a lot of people, especially on TikTok, like saying that they skip the scenes with Sonia and Reese. A lot of people saying they hate Reese and that he's really boring.
I don't personally understand that. And I'm sorry, but I feel like that's very much... I mean, I'm going to get attacked in the comment section for saying this, but nobody watches a TV show like that, all right? The internet is full of people going, I fast forward through those scenes. Like, no, you don't. Don't be ridiculous. Nobody does that. That's a ridiculous way to watch it. No, that's a ridiculous way to watch a TV programme. You know, it's
I agree. Why would you? But I'm just saying.
What's the point in doing that?
Yeah, but my point is that people are saying that they find him really boring, and I don't get that.
He's been a very Marmite character, I think. As time has gone on, which is one thing. But I don't know whether this making him a killer has particularly improved people's opinion of him or not.
Well, no.
What I have found though is after now he's done the killing thing. The things that I used to find funny about Reese, I'm sort of not finding as funny as I used to, because he did one of his little quirks this week where I can't remember what it was. It was something to do. Sonia said something to him, and then he quoted a line from a song or something because he was genuinely.
And it was like
once upon a time that would have made me kind of chuckle. Reese. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, but now he's got this killing thing behind him. I'm sort of stony faced about it, which is a shame because I used to really enjoy that about Reese. So
yeah, well. Maybe, but this is what I'm wondering, because obviously Brenda has that showdown with him and she says, I see past this bumbling fool act.
Yeah, how much
has
he
Has it all
us?
Been an act? Because we've seen, let's call it the mask of the bumbling character. We saw it drop down with Bianca, didn't we? And he got really nasty with her.
Yes.
So is it all going to have turned out to be an act? Like, completely, his entire character? Because I'm going to be shocked at that. I've been completely fooled.
Yeah, so have I. You know, when he's been going on about macaque monkeys and all that kind of thing. I found him adorable. I've really enjoyed him. And now
to know is, we need to know about Reese's past. We don't really know anything about Reese, really. What are his parents about? I'm sure he's mentioned his mum a couple of times.
Yeah, we don't know a lot about Reese's past, really, apart from the fact that he comes from Dot's family.
Or does he?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, yeah, but then why else would he go to Doc's funeral? Let's not get the conspiracy theories quite out that far, Ree. But what I would say is it all very much fits into the Cotton family tree. People like to think, oh, you can't be related to Dot. It's like, well, actually, no, half of Dot's family were absolute scum. So, yeah, he probably could be, to be honest.
So what is his family background which has made him turn into the person that he is? Are we ever going to find out? Because surely that's going to be quite important.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine
Debbie's parents have come along. Are Reese's parents going to show up?
Who knows? I mean, we're going to have to... Because if your wife had just died, surely your parents would be at least on the blower. You know,
our daughter-in-law's died or...
So do we know that much about Reese's background outside of
I know
the,
that he's mentioned his mum a couple of times because I'm sure he's said like, oh, my mum used to say this, and I don't know if he's talking about her in a past tense.
I got the impression that she died. Just because he's almost spoke about her wistfully in a lot of ways, didn't he? So I was sort of like, I decided that that his mum had died. But it feels weird.
Is that all the family's had?
Yeah, like, exactly.
We don't know
we're going to meet any more Colwells?
Yeah.
Interesting. We shall find out. But the basic way this storyline goes is by the end of the week, Reese has proposed to Sonia because that's a genius idea because that's what he needs Sonia accidentally proposes to him, and Reese is like, well, that's a great idea. And then he is going to sell the ring, but then decides that it would be much better on Sonia's finger. having just been on Debbie's finger no more than a couple of days ago.
Literally still cold.
Literally freezing cold out of the human fridge.
I don't know how Sonia just accepts it either. I'd be a bit weirded out by it. I mean, the situation, obviously, she's come to terms with, but then to be like, is she not questioning, did you take it off her finger at the mortuary? I don't remember you telling me that you, like, got hold of the ring somehow, like...
Yeah. I mean, it's... I think Sonia's just sort of just going along for the ride now, isn't she?
But this is it with Sonia. She's almost too accepting of every mistake that Reese is making. Is she going to find out that he did kill Debbie? And she's just... I feel like she's fully... Like, everyone around Sonia is saying red flag, red flag, red flag. She's doing nothing but defend Reese. Is she going to end up becoming an accomplice, like, accidentally as well? Because she's going to somehow figure out that he started killing, but be like, oh, but it's Reese. He's a nice guy. It's okay. He's just doing things because he's desperate. I feel like that's where Sonia's heading now. Do you not think she's a bit too defensive of him?
Could well be. Yeah, I can sort of, the rate it's going, because she's literally forgiven every single thing that's come up so far.
Yeah.
So I can imagine her kind of saying, kind of working out that it was the only logical thing to do. He didn't want to do it. He's not a bad person. He's not a killer.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like putting a pet to sleep. You know, why would you want her to suffer anymore? If she'll work it out in her head like that.
Yeah, she's justifying everything, isn't she?
It'll be more euthanasia in her head than murder. So I agree. I think that might be where Sonia's heading. I mean, Sonia is really on one this week. It's brilliant. Because, like I said, the gossips were all going around the Vic and she overheard them all. And then, to justify theft, she then went in on everybody. She had a go at Harvey. She had a go at Priya. She had a go
Kim were brilliant. Kim, like, me, do me.
Oh, yeah, Kim was just sat there. Kim was just stood there, like, enjoying the roast that was going on, wasn't she? Yeah. So, they're engaged now. To be married soon. And now, in this traditional soap way, weddings are always a good time for big revelations to come out. So, what do we think? Are they going to be a long engagement until Christmas / anniversary?
Maybe. They're going to get married soon because she's pregnant. And then at the wedding, that's when Brenda's going to be like, you killed Debbie, didn't you, Reese? And maybe she's going to try and frame Sonia for it somehow and go, well, the evidence is on Sonia. What'll hurt you, Reese? And then he'll kill Brenda on his and Sonia's wedding day.
I think that's not a bad shout. Not a bad shout.
There you go.
We shall see.
I'm just riffing, mate.
I mean, it's not a bad theory. Should we say 9 months from now is when Sonia's due? That's pretty close, isn't it? So I think this is going to be at least one of the components of the anniversary storyline. I think we might have our first clue about what the anniversary might be about if we kind of keep our ears to the ground. I think we might be starting to work things out slowly but surely. Yes. Right then, ladies and gents, we'll find out more about that in the coming weeks, I should think. Let's now move on to the dark side of the moon. Moving on now to Tommy, who I think is getting darker and darker and darker and turning into a really nasty little shit, isn't he? Yes, it's not going... he is getting very dark. This week, he makes Bert and Ernie stand there while he kicks a football at them. He is two steps away from ripping wings off butterflies and enjoying it.
Yes. He's definitely a psychopath traits are coming out.
Yeah, it's like bullying. He's like, this is outside of the family home now. Like, you know, he's intimidating people and just being a little thug. And I have a question for you, Ree. Was there a little bit of foreshadowing as to where this storyline might be going in the direction this week with the water pistol?
Oh, you don't think, do you?
Possibly. If he's hanging around with Phil, he could get hold of a gun very easily.
Wasn't it Tommy as well, not that long ago, were carrying a knife around as well?
Yeah, a zombie knife. It was a bit of machete or some...
He had a knife.
Or a butter knife or something like that. Didn't he
pull it out on someone as well? Like, that were a whole thing, yeah, you remember?
But at the time with that, it was more sympathetic towards Tommy because it was like that's how far this bully or something had pushed him to. It was more about knife crime and, you know, having to, you know, Tommy was the sympathetic character in that storyline, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
Quite the opposite these days, where he is more by far the antagonistic role in the storyline. And I don't know, I got vibes. Do you remember years with the Demon David storyline in Corrie, where he was on the roof of the factory and was like looking down at his family and going, pew, pew, pew. Remember that? I got that sort of vibe off it. I mean, just purely by him holding a water pistol. But the things that Tommy is doing these days sort of makes me think he is wanting to get closer to Phil. And Phil, if there's a why in the day, will have a gun in the safe, just sat there chilling. So I think it'll be very easy for Tommy to get hold of a gun. And if he's in a dark mood, things could get very, 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 very dark quite quickly. Oh, God.
Well, maybe him and Reese can join forces and, you know, take out the square together.
Maybe. Take over the world. So Kat, obviously, is still fretting about what's been going on. Alfie is trying to slowly get more involved and try and have a more fatherly role in Tommy's life and prove to Tommy that he's the father figure that he needs rather than Phil. Kat is sort of swiftly sent off to go and like spend some time with Lynn, in a caravan. That's from a Lynn mention. I haven't heard Lynn mentioned in a while. So Kat's kind of sent off and Alfie is sort of left holding the fort. Now, there was a great scene in the cafe I really enjoyed where Alfie sort of grabbed his collar and was like really kind of really intently saying to him, no son of mine, it's a woman. Which if you kind of... rewind a little bit in Alfie's history, he's hit Kat a few times, just saying, but it doesn't mean that Tommy has to do it, you know, and I'm pretty sure he won't be mentioning that to Tommy at any point.
No, I'm but sure
it's,
but maybe Tommy might bring it up and say, who are you to talk anyway? It might come up, you never know.
I mean, this whole nature versus nurture discussion that we have every now and again with characters, I mean, you know, if you grow up in a dark family environment, you know, you sort of wonder, is it any wonder some kids turn out the way they do in EastEnders? Because most of them have had a really sort of gritty, horrible upbringing.
Well, they said this.
Through
Alfie
various
said
circumstances.
That. Yeah, he was saying he's been around a lot of violence and stuff, weren't he? So I guess it's just, but you could also argue, is that what's bringing out, you know, his inner Michael Moon that's obviously... you know, he's going to have those traits, you might think. Maybe that's what's triggered them.
I think we might be hearing a little bit more about Michael Moon as the weeks go on. So sort of Kat threatening of like,
they've not really mentioned him, have they?
They haven't, but I think that it might be on the cards pretty soon because Kat, I think unavoidably is going to start noticing comparisons to how dark Michael was as a person and how dark Tommy is becoming as a person. So it's...
Remember, Michael Moon had... that great thing where he could smile and then just go,
and look,
Tommy
is dead behind the eyes.
Is going to be Tommy very soon. I mean, he's already showing those qualities. I don't know if you call it a quality, but it's a positive
inqualities.
But you know what I'm saying? He's already showing, like he was saying, oh, I find it really easy to lie and all that. He's definitely going to start doing that, I think, soon with the little smile and then nope. But so go on.
I was just going to say, is this now the direction for Tommy as a character from here on in? Is he now going to, from this point onwards, going, even after this domestic violence storyline between him and Kat is finished, is he going to continue to be a dark character, do we
think, forever?
Forwards? Is this a Tommy thing forever now, or do you reckon this is savable?
I don't know. I think I were wondering this, and unless they get the correct help, it may just be the way that he's going, I think, forever, how else... What miracle would they need to turn him around at this point? I don't know. What would you do?
Considering the stage he's at already. And he's how old? About 12, 13, something like that? So he's young to be doing what he's doing right now. So it's very worrying. I don't blame Kat for running away to a caravan. I don't think I'd come back. I'd be like, Alfie, you deal with that. I'm just going to chill out and... Butlins for a few months and you deal with that, and hopefully he'll be a lovely boy again by the time I get back, and I'll bring a stick of rock back for you. All right, you deal with that. That's absolutely fine. And Alfie does his Alfie thing this week. You know, he sorts out an obstacle course for the kids in the square, which was so dramatically filmed, did you not think? Like, they got the drone out for
drone
it and everything.
Out. Yeah, they love cracking that drone out every so often.
Yeah, but they normally only ever use the drone for like really epic shots and everything, not for a kid's obstacle course.
Maybe they're just experimenting with it.
Yeah, I mean, fair play. You know, that's what, you know, it looked good, but I was just surprised by how epic it looked.
I
could have stuck the Game of Thrones soundtrack over it and it wouldn't have looked out of place. You know, it was great. And basically, Tommy and Ricky end up winning it. Can I just park that for a second and say that I enjoyed Ricky's line? I enjoyed Ricky's thinking that because he's now a dad, he now has a dad bod.
What a dad bod.
That's how it works. Yes,
yeah.
Ricky.
Yeah.
You're skinny as a twig, bless you. But yeah, you definitely got a dad bod. Yeah, all the beer that you've been drinking all your life. Yeah, that's now having an effect. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bless, bless. But him and Tommy win this race that's going around, and they kind of win. And Alfie's trying to be fair. And I mean, I to be fair, I was kind of like, we aren't about Alfie. Just give it to the winner. Stop. Don't be soft. Give it to the winner and teach losers that losers lose and winners win. I don't think there's anything wrong with that
win,
message.
Though, didn't they?
No, did they balled?
Who won then?
I think it might have been Ricky, but he was trying to keep Tommy on side, so he kind of just gave the money out.
Oh yeah,
I
don't think. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm yeah, maybe this is probably why I'd be a terrible father.
Or referee is what I was
or
thinking.
Referee, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that either. But, you know, so they end up sharing these winnings, and Tommy basically bullies Ricky into giving him the money. So I think slowly but surely, Ricky's also going to start losing friends. This whole thing with kicking the football at Burton.
I mean, it didn't take much for Ricky to hand it over. So obviously all the kids around Tommy see him because he went, all right, psycho. So they're all the kids are obviously like, oh,
yeah,
don't bother messing with Tommy because he's a nutter. Like, just do what Tommy says. Because he handed it over straight away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be like, no.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to lose. He's losing friends ever so quickly, I think. People are noticing. His friends are noticing. He's just going to soon be a very lone figure. And what tends to happen in this sort of situation is that as you become more alone, you start to blame people for it, like completely disregarding your own behaviour. So that's what makes me think that where this might be heading. And I do think that the water pistol might have been a bit of foreshadowing going on. I really do.
Yeah.
On to a couple of smaller stories now, and we shall start with talking about Johnny and Callum. I can already see
a tree.
I can already see the pitchforks and the flaming torches on the horizon, can't you?
Yeah.
So, although I don't know, is this where it's heading or not? I'm not sure. So basically, in a nice little scene between Callum and Honey this week, where they're basically talking about people that have married the Mitchells. We're both mad enough to do this when we need to stick together. Quite like that logic. Yeah. Honey's great in this era. Can I just say, this is great era for Honey. I want more Honey. She's great. I love her at the minute. And she basically is trying to tell Callum, I think maybe you need to get on with your life a little bit. You know, Ben's going to be a while. So, you know, you don't need to sit and grieve for him all the time. Just go out and live a little bit. Meanwhile, Johnny keeps trying to basically get Callum out on the town and sort of trying to force feed him tequila and all of this sort of thing. Do we think that Johnny fancies Callum then? Is Johnny after Callum?
I can't actually decide if he does fancy him or if in his head it's a kind of way of keeping another police officer on side with all the Linda stuff. Because remember, Callum was sus not that while ago. And I'm pretty sure it was Johnny who had to say to Jack, like, you need to get him off this. Then again, I think that's all been and done.
Because they think, as far as they're concerned, Dean's going down for it and that's all fine and
that's
done.
It.
We just need to keep Linda calm.
But it was Callum who was like, Linda's acting sus to me. And he was the one who sniffed it out. But I feel like if it was that, maybe we would have seen Johnny saying that to somebody and saying, I think I better keep Callum on side.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what?
I better sleep with Callum. All right, then, if you insist.
Go on, then. But this is kind of what annoys me, because right now it is innocent and it is just two guys who both happen to be gay going out for a drink. Does that mean that something's going to happen, or are two gay guys not able to just be friends?
No. That's not how it works.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
of course it is.
Right.
Yeah, but
naive little me thinking,
have you? No, of course they can. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're supposed to be sort of raising an eyebrow at the two of them. Honestly, I mean, yes, I am not the biggest defender of Balham, but I would say I don't think Callum would do this yet. You know, it seems quite soon for Callum to sort of have a roving eye about somebody else. I fully believe that. I don't think Callum is going to go there just yet. But I do wonder if Johnny is going to start coming across as almost a little bit lecherous, the way this is going.
Oh, okay, you reckon?
It definitely
feels like it'd be one-sided if that is where it goes.
Yeah, and he's getting quite insistent, isn't he? And I don't believe, with this new Johnny, where he's got a little bit more grit to him, I kind of do wonder whether there's ulterior motives in there of a carnal nature, shall we say. So I do wonder if it's starting to head in that direction, with Johnny definitely after a bit of Callum and Callum not so sure. I don't know.
People forget, though, as well, that Callum came in because he was Lee's best mate. So Johnny and Callum have known each other for years.
Yeah.
So actually, it wouldn't be that out of the ordinary for him to just go and have a drink together, actually.
No, it wouldn't. But then also, you could argue that because they've known each other for so long. Then you could also, I think, argue that because they've known each other for so long, they know each other inside out because they've known each other for so long. So it would maybe feel, from Johnny's perspective, it was hard to feel, I can see that. I can see us working together. Mm. Yeah. And he slept with Ben already, so why not just complete the set? You know? I don't know. I feel like this is maybe just...
Why put it in there at all, then? It's obviously going to be something.
I feel like Johnny is definitely going to start fancying Callum soon. Whether that is reciprocated or not remains to be seen. But I'm unsure. Other tiny story this week, and this was just a kind of couple of scenes scattered throughout the week, was Chelsea. Started off with just Penny doing her thing. Penny is just not nice at the moment with Chelsea. She's really been enjoying just being horrible to Chelsea at the moment with this manager.
Why is she being so horrible?
But I think what this is more about, as it turns out, is that they are set to lose number one by the end of the week because Gray apparently has decided that the house needs selling. Now, what Gray is going to do with this money while he's rotting away in prison for the rest of his life remains to be seen.
Well, it's Gray, isn't it? He's just making life awkward, I guess, for Chelsea. Why not?
Why the hell not? Mm. So what this does is effectively put Chelsea and Felix and Bernie at risk of being on the streets. Now, I've got to say, I would have thought Bernie would have been quite happy to get out of there. Not only does she work in the place where her brother was buried, but she also lives in the place where her sister died. You know?
Yeah, but it's a nice house, though, isn't it?
It's a nice house. You'd get over it, wouldn't you? You'd just redecorate. It'd be all right. Change the dishwasher.
There's no blood on the floor, so whatever.
Be right. But my thinking with this is, if they're all vacating that house, I have a feeling this might be where the new Mitchells are going.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who might be moving
in. It would suit them, I think, actually. It would suit Teddy, especially living in a house like that, I think, wouldn't it?
Where does he get all his money from then? Because he's doing all right. I mean, I know we're speculating. Do you know what I don't quite get though? Chelsea and Gray got married. So does she not own half of the house anyway?
I don't think so. Because this isn't the first time that this has come up, is it? Because at one point they were struggling with paying the mortgage and Gray was kind of... This isn't the first time the house has been at threat before. But this is the first time that a massive for sale sign has been posted outside of it. So they're definitely leaving that place pretty soon, I should think.
And I reckon...
With Chelsea now having a demotion, she hasn't got hasn't got the wages that she used to have. Felix is just earning... They're not earning enough to be living in that house full-time to buy the actual property. So they're all going to be vacating. Are they going to be separated? I think that's probably what's going to happen as well.
I could see Felix and Bernie living together. They're kind of cousins, aren't they? Maybe they're going to get somewhere. But I can't think where they'd live either.
No, and then maybe Chelsea will go back with Denise and everyone. So
the Fox Brannings. Yeah.
Although how Denise and... how Bernie and Felix are going to be able to afford their own place on the way to the...
Surely not in London, where they're going to go.
Hey, that'll sort itself out. Right, so we'll see where that goes, see where people end up. But my prediction is that the new Mitchells are going into number one, and I think that would kind of quite suit them. Right, so final storyline of the week, ladies and gents, is talking about Nish, Priya and Suki. Final storyline of the week now, and this is the Panasars. Now, Nish has a business meeting. You know, he's doing this until his dying day. And Vinny senses an opportunity to sort of get in there with Nish a little bit more and sort of make Nish realise that he is the son he's always wanted. Bless Vinny. I genuinely thought that he was going to cock this up massively. This is how much faith I've got in Vinny, bless him. But I thought he was going to absolutely wreck this. And clearly, Nish did too. Because Vinny turns up at this meeting all suited and booted. And it's like, let me sort you the drinks out, fellas. Then we'll have a conversation. Because I've got all the details that you need. Thank you very much. I don't even know if Vinny knew what meeting this was about. But he just turned up.
He turned up. Why not? Well,
even Suki's sort of like, are you sure? Sure, that's a good idea. Are we sure about that, Vinny love? But actually, Vinny manages to save the situation. Because Priya comes along and starts gobbing off at Nish. And this business guy is kind of like, yeah, I think I'll just leave you guys to it. And Vinny manages to sort of convince him to stay, take him away from the situation and secure whatever business deal they've got going. And this does genuinely impress Nish. For the first time, Vinny is impressing Nish.
I would have probably had the meeting in the office in the first place because
it might
have
been an idea, yeah.
There's quite a few enemies on the square that might come over and do that. So yeah. In the future, meetings in the office is probably a good idea.
Yes, I think so. So meanwhile, Nugget's dialysis treatment is continuing. It seems that Nugget, I don't understand about kidney dialysis and all that kind of thing. He just seems, it's like he has to sit there on a drip for a little while, whilst he kind of seems to live a relatively normal life on the square. I'm sure he's sort of bedbound and not doing as much as he used to, and he's off school and everything, but...
I'm probably totally wrong, but I thought once you're on dialysis, that's it for life.
Well, he's wondering that. They don't know whether he's going to have to do that or not yet. It's kind of up in the air whether his dialysis is
going
to be...
They're trying to avoid a transplant, he said.
Yeah. And Priya's being pushed out of it because Priya obviously wants to know, understandably, Priya wants to know what's going on with her son and wants to know that her son's okay, and everybody is sort of kind of trying to keep her out of the equation. Nugget doesn't really want to speak to her, Avani doesn't really want to speak to her, Ravi's not interested, and Nish is just enjoying the chaos that's being caused from it.
On that note, sorry, why is nobody bothered about the fact that they all think that Nish also slept with Priya? It's just that Priya's in the wrong. Yes. Why is nobody like judging Nish for it and being like, what do you think you're doing? It's all Priya. Oh, he just couldn't resist her ways, could he?
We all know Priya turns up in a skimpy outfit. How could any man resist that? Yeah. You know?
Some double standards going on.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. But anyway, she manages to arrange with Denzel because I quite liked the little pairing of Denzel and Priya because Priya actually sits down. And even though she's being a little bit underhand, I think she genuinely meant it when she turned around and was just like, look, I don't blame you. All right. Stuff happens. All right. I've done stuff that I regret in the past. You clearly regret what's going on. So let's work together. You want to have your best mate back in your life, and I want to have my son back in my life. So we can work together here. Quite like that. So they turn up at the hospital. I presume they're sort of kind of clearly hiding in the corridor and like watching through the window, waiting for Nish and Ravi to clear the room. And then they can sneak in. And Nugget is pleased to see Denzel, less pleased to see Priya.
Yeah.
But Priya, I think, is slowly starting to win him round a little bit just before Nish and Ravi return. Mm. And they end up arguing and it all doesn't go well. And Priya is forced to sort of leave. Denzel's chucked out and Nugget's kind of left upset. So Priya decides that the best way to deal with this situation, whilst everybody thinks that her and Nish actually slept together, is to get Nish to confess that he lied about sleeping with her. So her solution to that is to handcuff him to a pipe in the storeroom of the Minute Mart, close the store, and just leave him in there all night without his medication. I don't know what her plan was here exactly. I think she thought that he was just going to confess instantly to it once she put the camera to him. But then when he was like, no, do what you go on then, do your hardest.
Which is when I think she decided, I'm going to withhold your meds then, because if you're not willing to do it, then maybe you'll do it so that I can give you your meds.
Yeah, but then she just leaves. Like, he had no way of getting in contact with her throughout the night, saying, okay, I've changed my mind, I'll do it. Like, she just left him. He genuinely could have been dead when he returned. And she was kind of being whole hard about that. I was just like, oh, well, maybe I'll leave a sex tape. Maybe I'll leave a lesbian video, because that'll hurt you a bit more, because of Suki and E.
Oh, yes, the people think it's some weird kinky sex stuff that, you know,
love
Priya.
I love Priya.
I don't care
so
if she left
much.
Him in the stock room overnight. Crack on.
Bugger to it. I love Priya. Yeah. But I'm not entirely sure how she thought this was going to play out.
She didn't have a big plan, did she? She wasn't thinking long term when she did it. No.
But whilst Nish is locked in the storeroom, Suki and Vinny sort of come into the Minute Mart, wonder why it's closed. Not realizing that Nish is in the storeroom, they start discussing the plan. And Nish overhears and is clearly visibly devastated by this betrayal. But when Nish is feeling betrayed, Nish becomes very, very dangerous. So that was kind of quite a good duff. I wasn't expecting that, by the way, were you? I thought that was a good duff midway through the week. So the next morning, Priya kind of comes back, kind of clearly quite hoping that Nish is still alive, because she doesn't need that on her conscience as well. And he's still there. But unfortunately, kind of people then start coming in and Nish is discovered and the whole plan completely and utterly falls apart and Priya is basically left in more trouble.
Because yeah, she ends up worse off. She doesn't think these things through. She doesn't.
She thinks very immediately, doesn't she, Aphria? Yeah. Good initial plan. Maybe think a little bit more into the future about what the consequences, if it goes slightly wrong, might be.
Yeah, exactly.
Bless her. So we sort of leave the Priya section of that there. So she's still got a butt ton more work to do. I don't know how she's going to get herself out of this. But then it's more the focus on what Nish has learnt about Vinny, what he's learnt about Suki. And Suki, the interesting thing was that Vinny and Suki sort of realised that he was in there and was like, wait, we were discussing the plan. Did he overhear? He must have overheard. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of worried about that. But Suki, I think, is unable to resist taunting him further throughout the week when she starts going on about him and Eve, which I quite liked. What are you actually going to do? Yeah, you're alone and I'm with my lesbian partner. Do one. And what?
She's got to try and act normal, though, as well, to be fair, hasn't she? She doesn't suspect that he's heard anything. And that would have been her carrying on acting normal, making all these little digs that she keeps making.
So Nish is sort of pushed to a point, I think, where he's... This feels like... I do kind of have an idea about where this is going because, you know, spoilers and stuff get released. So I've seen this is going. But... This feels like Nish's kind of most underhand card that he's played so far in terms of he gets Avani to get in contact with this woman.
Mm.
Gives the details because, you know, old people can't do social media, apparently.
To be fair, though, Nish... No, I did think that. And then I thought, actually, Nish didn't even know how to use a card machine when he got out of prison because he'd been in for about 20 years. So.
That's very true. I forgot about that. But he gets Avani to sort of look up the details of this person that he wants to get in contact with. Suki gives the excuse of, you know, I just want to sort of put these things to rest before the end. Suki will be pleased to see this person. Avani kind of gets 50 quid for doing it or whatever and then kind of skips off. And we end the week on this Duff Duff. Now, I'm looking forward to where this is going next week. I don't want to go into spoiler type territory because we get told off when we do that. It's fair enough. But... it's exciting. I was hoping that we were going to meet this person, I have to say. I really, really was. And the actress that's going to play her, I'm doubly excited about because I've wanted her in EastEnders for years.
Well, I think we can safely say that it's a woman who has a significant past with Suki. People can probably figure out who this lady is.
I think that's probably you telling them what the storyline's going to be.
Well, we know that, though, don't we? We don't.
If you follow the socials, this is one of those things that EastEnders has sort of announced because this is a good actress to bring in. So they've sort of, they've proudly sort of said, look who's coming in next week for a short stint. So we are going to meet this woman and it's going to get very, very, very exciting, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out.
But so this is what he's kind of got in store for Suki. I'm not entirely sure what the big plan is with it.
What is the thing with Vinny? Yes, because Nish decides to give... Ravi, the call centre. Remember that? Yeah. Remember the call centre? Yeah. The rat catching business. Remember all of that? Yeah. So what Ravi's going to do with a call centre, God only knows. But he's got that.
He was just like, his face thanks. Was like, I could not care less. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, cheers. I guess. Cheers, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll run that whilst I'm running my own restaurant. Yeah, cheers for that, Dad. Thanks very much. And then he sort of put out a little bit like, oh, why haven't I got anything? And kind of his bottom lip comes out. And she's like, oh, don't you worry. I've got much bigger plans for you, Mr. Businessman. Mm. And so, yeah, like you say, I'm sort of wondering, no idea what that might be, but not a good time for Vinny, I suspect. So all of that is set up for, I think, what's coming next week. I don't know how it all plays out next week, by the way. I just happen to know who this woman is. So I don't know how it's all going to play out, how this is going to affect Suki and E's relationship, what's going to happen there. No idea about any of that. But it's definitely an underhand card from Nish's, from Nish, I have to say. Gold star this week, Ray. Who are you giving it to?
Priya.
I thought you might. Sonia, I think for me. I enjoyed that rant in the Vic. Yeah, Sonia can have my gold star. Yeah, Sonia and her glares. I enjoyed all that. So Priya and Sonia for the gold stars this week. Let us know who your gold stars are going to in the comments section below. Final section of the podcast, as usual, is comments from you lovely people. So, starting the comments this week, Connor Wilkinson on something that we forgot to mention about Martin's birthday. Not 40, oh, yeah. but 30. Not 40, but 39. He says, I loved the background detail of Billy showing Zach him running around using his beer as the torch. Because obviously, they had a garden party sort of thing for Martin's birthday. But because because they wanted to use the square for Martin's birthday, but because they didn't think that Mr. Lister would approve if it was just for his 39th, so they went for the 40th instead. Right. So Martin has been aged a year as far as Mr. Lister is concerned. And Billy got progressively more drunk as the party went on, was telling everybody about the Olympic torch that he carried that time, just because the Olympics are on, resulting in a great little scene between him and Eve, which I really enjoyed. Christian was saying, I beg you, go tell somebody else about it. If you found someone who hasn't heard about it, I beg you, go and tell them instead.
And I love how Billy were just like, yeah, actually.
Yeah, I will.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I will.
Go on then. All
noticing right. Him using his beer as the Olympic torches, he was demonstrating it to people. So yeah, likes that. Good stuff.
We've got another comment from Louise Claire who said, oh, Sonia is driving me crazy. She's normally more savvy than this. The pregnancy may be affecting how clearly she can see things, but how can she maintain faith in this man?
This is what we said. I mean, it's just the now and again you get storylines like this where one character has to acts like a little bit silly in order to facilitate the story kind of moving forwards, because otherwise she would have chucked him out by now. But love is blind, Ree. Love is blind. That's the thing.
I don't know. I think, do you wonder if maybe it's going to go into a bit of a coercion though as well, where Reese is going to, he's going to be able to just keep justifying everything so well to Sonia that she just keeps going for it. I don't know. I agree. It's a bit out of character that she's being okay with everything so much.
I think it's just that she is, I don't know, maybe she's convinced herself of him. And because she's created this image of what Reese is. She keeps calling him really trustworthy and really sort of, and despite the fact that he keeps presenting her with details in ways that he's not trustworthy whatsoever, but she kind of keeps believing him. So, yeah, I think that this whole theory that you had earlier about him, her eventually justifying in her mind why Debbie had to die could well be where it's going and may lead to her being framed for it. We shall see. We also had an anonymous email. I like it when we get these. Anonymous email. Could be from anybody. Could be from absolutely anybody. Hi, Rob and Ree. Hope you're both well. I just wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on the early uploads. I personally believe that this ruins the show as it destroys collective viewing as a nation, for example, Big Brother and Love Island, etc. And there isn't as much anticipation for the next episode. As well as this, when there isn't an early upload, you are led to believe that something big is happening and it just builds the viewers' expectations, and sometimes the ending could be lackluster. And also grinds my gears when people go online and say, tonight's episode was really good, but don't worry, no spoilers. Sorry, I do that. Apologies. how can you expect us to keep offline just because you can't keep your trap shut? When the sports are on, I can understand it. But otherwise, I don't think the early upload should continue. At least they make us wait on Christmas and New Year's. Here's the thing, all right? The problem is, yes, the soap opera itself lends itself to the way that it used to be aired, like every day and the duff and everything like that. I mean, it's better now than what it used to be. Do you remember that stage where they were uploading the entire week's episodes and the first day of the week? That was tricky, especially seeing as I would be unable to resist watching them all on Monday and have nothing to watch for the entire week. I mean, I get it. I really do. The thing is, I've got myself into a nice routine now. Is I finish work at 6 o'clock in the morning and come home and watch EastEnders. I've got myself into that nice that routine.
The thing I don't get with this in particular is, what difference is it if you can't? Because I used to work night shifts. I couldn't always sit down at 7:30 p.m. and watch it. So I'd end up watching it on catch up. This is before they were uploaded at 6 a.m. Yeah. What difference is it then that I go on and see a spoiler from everyone who watched it at 7:30? I wasn't able to watch it at 7:30. So I've caught up, but I've seen a couple of spoilers. Do you know what I'm saying? What's the difference?
Because it's the whole thing that people still have, and I can understand it completely. It's like that sacred thing of when it's actually aired on TV, that's when it's okay to discuss spoilers.
Yeah, like you were saying, when you all watch a football match together,
I understand that. I do understand the frustration of it, because if you're you've woken up at 10 a.m, you know the first thing you do is flick through your phone, and the first thing you see is somebody that's tweeted that Jane's back or something like that. You know, it does ruin it for you. I get that. And I get the frustration of it. But The problem is with the early uploads, it's really, really, really worked for the BBC. This has been an absolute success for them, hence why they've been doing it now for so long. It's really worked. It's bringing people to iPlayer, and EastEnders does really well on iPlayer. 9 times out of 10, it's number one on iPlayer. So it's working perfectly well. So I am afraid this ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, and it's just impossible to avoid spoilers anyway. Like, when you were just saying that, then I thought, actually, when I go on TikTok in the morning, there's sometimes someone will have just uploaded a scene that's for that an episode that day, and it's like, how have I had a chance to watch EastEnders yet? You know, it's 10 a.m. and I've just seen a scene from tonight's episode. Thanks for that one.
I mean, this is the thing, though. It's the streaming era, and they can either kind of keep up with this sort of thing. They've got to move on. But, you know, they've got to sort of adapt to the way that people are watching television these days, and it's about making EastEnders as accessible as possible. Like, if you miss an episode, then yes, you could go and catch up, but then also you could watch it at any point throughout the entire day if you wanted to. Like, it's there. The problem is when people are spoiling it online before anybody else has had a chance to watch it. That, you know, I've seen, I mean, I'm lucky that I can come in at 6 o'clock in the morning and watch it, probably be one of the first people in the country to see that episode. That's great. But I do see, you know, about 8 o'clock in the morning, a big spoilery picture every so often. It's sort of like, why would you do that? I feel like that's unnecessary. Like, a lot of people won't have seen it at 8 a.m. and yet you've got a picture of this big reveal that's happened. Like, I get that you want to discuss it, and that's the problem, I think, that when a big event happens in an episode, the EastEnders fan community loves to come together at a big reveal and a big episode. And unfortunately, the uploading does sort of dilute that a little bit because you're sort of like, when am I allowed to get excited and talk about it with other people without spoiling it for other people? You kind of can't do it. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword in a lot of ways.
Agreed.
Isn't it? Yeah, so it's unfortunate, but unfortunately, I think this is very much to stay. And ITV and Corrie and Amber are going to start doing it soon as well, apparently. Hollyoaks are doing it already. So this is how the soaps are viewed now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it must
this
work,
is just the way of it. Yeah.
If they're following suit, then there must be a reason for it. It must be something that works. And like you say, we've got to keep with the times, haven't we? And unfortunately, that's the way that it's going.
Indeed. Hollyoaks has really worked for us well. Apparently, their viewership online is up by about 50% or something insane.
Oh, wow.
So it's gone really well for Hollyoaks. I don't know how it's going to work for... I don't know if it's going to work as well for ITV, actually. Because I think I would argue that Corrie and Emmerdale have got a slightly older viewership than EastEnders and Hollyoaks. True. So I don't know if that's going to work quite as well for them as it does for
Emmerdale.
The other two. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to sort of see how that plays out. Because they've not exactly been loud about the fact that they're doing it. It's sort of just happening. And they think they're kind of just going to let people discover it as and when they do. But what was interesting was that the ITV Corrie Twitter page specifically said, try not to be too spoilerish online until it's aired.
Yes, I did see that, yeah.
So they are kind of keeping that in mind, which was an interesting point. But it
is
the way.
You
can't control it, can you? You can't, you know, unless you decide to mute it on Twitter, but then you can't enjoy the discussion when you have watched it. So it's a double-edged sword. But unfortunately, that's sort of just the terrain you have to negotiate around television viewing these days, isn't it? I'm having this exact same conversation about Doctor Who. Don't get me wrong, because the last series of Doctor Who, because it's being aired on Disney Plus as well, and in America, that gets uploaded at midnight.
Oh.
Yeah, so I sometimes can't watch that until later. So I've got to completely and utterly avoid online and mute Doctor Who. And I love Doctor Who, so I don't want that spoiling for myself.
Does
so
it
I
work
get it.
When you mute Doctor Who then? Does that
work?
Yeah,
but then
you
even
avoid
then...
the spoilers.
But then even then, you know, things slip through the net. So it's tricky.
I know you don't like it, Rob, but I watch Love Island as well, which was mentioned in the email. But I can't ever keep up with it. I'm always about a week behind, and I mute that. And on the whole, it works, but then there are still a few that slip through the net with that as well. So
yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I think it's just about consideration. I think it's just about, you know, don't if you watched it at 8 o'clock in the morning, don't post a picture of the big reveal at the end of the episode until later on in the day. Why do
I mean,
that, you know?
We always wait until the episode's been aired before we post it on our pages, don't we? Yeah. And even then, we try to be kind of careful in it not being too much of a giveaway picture as well. And that's when it's been aired on
TV.
But
sometimes
so.
I do post on Twitter, oh, good one tonight. Oh, I can't, you know, and I think that's all right. But
but if you're not saying anything
people,
other than it's a good episode tonight, I'd just be like, oh, brilliant, it's going to be a good episode. You're not giving anything away.
No, but then even
Rob? You better not be doing that when you're representing our page.
No, we're representing us. No, I don't. But then even then, I've been if I posted online and said, "Oh, really good episode tonight," I've been told off and said, "Well, it wasn't that good," and I'm like, "Well, I enjoyed it." So you know, so. It's tricky. But thank you for that email. And if you'd like to email us or comment or ask us any questions, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. You can drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a very much needed coffee, you can go on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Sleep deprived,
because we're tired. Yes,
sleep deprived, are we, Ree?
We need caffeine,
young mother.
Thanks. Right. I'm just glad that you call me young.
Still, I'll do it till you're 60. Right, there we are then. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We should be back same time next week, and we cannot wait to see you there. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye. See you later. Bye.